Who is it? Well, we've gotten into our study here in chapter 6 of Nehemiah last week, and we're looking at these three points of the aspect of the ministry of God's man. The aspect of the ministry of God's man. And just looking at the character, if you will, of Nehemiah. And last week we look at this sense of unwavering focus that this man has, and how it is certainly applied to you and I as Christians. That focus that we need to have, that certainly that as we embark on the journey of the Christian faith in our lives, that there is going to be times of discouragement. There are going to be times of distraction and opposition. And it is in those periods of times in which oftentimes in human tendency, we tend to concentrate on the circumstance itself or the trial that we're facing. And oftentimes when we focus in on what is discouraging or what is distracting, that it sort of hinders us and impairs us and we become ineffective. And yet, what we see in light of all of this is that there is this sense of focus that needs not to be on the circumstances or situations or the opposition involved, but entirely and ultimately on the person and character of God that orchestrates and is sovereignly in control. And what we look at here in Nehemiah is nothing short of that. And as I've shared this many times, you know what? We are all in some type of battle in our lives. As Christians, as believers in Christ, as ambassadors for Christ, as representatives who are actively and proactively serving, we are going to face that opposition. We are going to face that attack or that persecution, whatever it may be, in various forms and in various ways. It seems like, in some regard, the battle is relentless and never-ending. As if it's in not one context, it seems like it's in a different context. If you will. I don't know about you, but sometimes the armor gets a little heavy sometimes. And it's at those points in times where we need not let down the armor, but we need to recalibrate our focus back on Him. And have that sense of unwavering focus as believers and ambassadors for God. But the second thing that we're going to get into this morning is not only is there this sense of unwavering focus that Nehemiah demonstrated for us, but there is also this strong sense of fortitude as we see here. And it's interesting here, as many of you know, as we look at this whole idea, this strength or this fortitude, if you will, is not something that comes inherently within ourselves. That it is not our own strength that we are counting on, but it is indeed the strength of God that works in and through us. And that is, as we look at this study, you know, you notice this point, it's sort of a double meaning here, or rather, it's a little bit redundant, if you will. A strong sense of strength. That's the idea of this point. It's having this strength of mind, if you will, because the word fortitude there literally means this strength of the mind. And that's what it takes in some regard here. And as I think about that, you know, to parallel that, I remember my life in the high school years and looking back, and I remember being in athletics, being in sports. I was in cross country, indoor track, and spring track 4 years straight throughout high school. I was a runner. I was, by my frame and design, born to be a runner. And, you know, if I know I wasn't born to be a football player because they would have broken every bone in my body, you know. I graduated 145 pounds soaking wet, so I wasn't the biggest guy out there, no doubt, in any way. But I remember just that mindset in the running, especially in those more distance runnings. Coaches and athletes will tell you it's 90% mental and 10% physical in it all. It's all about that strength of mind to push on, to persevere, to keep going, even amidst all the pain that you're feeling. You know, I had one athlete that he come up with this motto that is, pain is weakness leaving the body. Pain is weakness leaving the body. You know, it was a good motto, but it seemed like to not hold up all the time, because the more pain that you endured meant the more pain that was inflicted in it all too as well. So, but in any case, you see this strength of mind, and Paul even talks about this in the book of Corinthians, how know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but only one receiveth the prize. And so there's this strength of mind and the idea of running a race. I remember in Bible college. There was a few of us guys at Appalachian Bible College that would go to the gym that was available there on the campus, and we would work out together. We would go into the gym, and we would put the weights on, and we'd do our bench press once or twice a week or whatever, and we would work out. And I remember, we trained 2-3 times a week just to stay fit, just to stay healthier. There was this one guy who was quite a bit smaller than us guys that were working out together. And, we were benching, and putting on some good weight there and things like that. And he says, I can bench 200 pounds, And we're thinking in our mind, we're looking at this guy and we're like, there's no way he can bench 200 pounds. But he was pretty convinced in his moan on. He had that sense of fortitude, if you will. Maybe it just didn't translate into the body, if you will. I remember one day as we're working out, he had this intent to prove himself, if you will. And he came into the gym and he said, put it on there. I'm going to do it. And we're like, are you sure about this? And don't you want to warm up a little bit first? He says, nah, I'm good. And we put 200 pounds on the bench press bar there. And, as guys in college, you're like, oh, this is great. Get this on video. We can't wait to see this. And, we put it on there. We're like, okay, do you need a spotter? Do you need a lift off? Because a lot of times guys would just lift it off the bar, bench for them there, get it set in place so they're sort of secure. So he gets the lift off there, and he gets it up there, and his arms are straight out, locked in place, and he starts to go down, and it drops like a lead balloon right on his chest right there. Couldn't do it. And it was amazing. We helped him off. Thankfully, he was okay in it all, but the strength was not there to do the task. Simply amazing. We sort of laughed about it. Thankfully, he was not hurt. But remember that situation. And that sort of gives a comical aspect to this point. But the reality of it is that with this strong sense of fortitude, there is also this strong preparation, if you will. Just as a runner runs in a race, he prepares, he trains. There's a sense of stamina and endurance that is built up in all of this to embark upon the journey with it all. And I'm reminded, as you will, one character in Scripture throughout the Old Testament that is regarded for his, if you will, his fortitude. It was Job. And I think about this man, a man who God regards as an upright man, one that eschewed evil. And to look at what this man went through. I wrote a thesis on the book of Job one time, and to look at the various different things that Job lost. Amongst those different things, the majority of them he lost within a 5-minute span, to which I believe took possibly the rest of his life to digest in some regard, if you will. But amazing that this man went through all this and yet still maintained a sense of integrity and fortitude through it all. And you look at this and you say, how could he do this? How could any man, many individuals will regard the book of Job as an allegory simply because they don't feel that any man could endure such trial as Job did. Yet Christ refers to them, James refers to him, and gives evidence to the historical connotation in it all. And what we see here once again, as we're looking at this sense of fortitude that you and I need to have, and we see demonstrated in the life of Nehemiah, this strength does not come from us. It comes from our God. And Nehemiah will give evidence to that even by his verbiage in this passage. Because as he sees what is going on in these individuals who are trying to weaken and make afraid the people of God, he says, Lord, strengthen my hand. Strengthen my hands. I remember when I felt the calling to go into full-time ministry and be a pastor, and getting that advice from my pastor himself talking to me and saying, this requires a strong back. This requires a sense of fortitude in it all. And I'm thinking in my mind, how? Boy, you learn how real quickly, I'll say that. Paul actually shares to Timothy, and actually the last letter that Paul writes to Timothy, he says to Timothy, "Mine own son, thou therefore, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier in Jesus Christ." Do you see that right there? The passage itself is indicative of the idea that there was going to be difficulty, that there was going to be adversity, that there was going to be opposition, that this was not going to be easy in it all. You need to be prepared to endure difficulty. You need to strengthen yourself, if you will, in order to be a good soldier in Jesus Christ. I think of Joshua. Here's a young man who followed Moses, watched how he did everything, sort of his apprentice, if you will. And when Joshua's time came, it's interesting to see the words that are repeated throughout the beginning portion of that book. As God speaks to Joshua, he says this, "Be strong, be strong, be strong." And the strength itself clearly did not come inherently from Joshua's own character or being. It was being strong in God. Being strong in God. And God gave him the resources. It was His Word, by the way. That was all he needed. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10 says this, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. We'll expound upon that a little bit later. But as we look at this whole strong sense of fortitude, there it is of no question at all that when we choose to step out in faith to serve God in the calling that He's called us to and in the capacity that He has designed us in and equipped us to be in, there will be adversity and opposition. Within this particular calling, there is not only adversity within the circumstances that we face, but there is also opposition by individuals within those circumstances. Sad to say. Nehemiah certainly had those individuals outside the camp which were trying to hinder the progress and destroy the work, trying to prevent and tear down that which was being built up. But there were also those who were inside the camp who were somewhat loyal to those outside. Isn't it interesting what we see here in this passage is not only Sanballat and Tobiah were on the outside scoffing and mocking and ridiculing, trying to discourage the people of God, but they had hired someone to go in and be this imposter, if you will, to be this deceiver and try and bring destruction from an internal level, if you will. And oftentimes, you look at this whole attack that's taking place, this cancer that is developing. Nehemiah is facing an attack, an onset attack on all sides. There is not only this outer evil that is threatening security to which erect walls of protection, but also to find that there is also those pushing to knock down those very same walls from the inside. You know, in our study in Sunday school this morning, we were looking at the spiritual gifts. We looked at the gift of discerning of spirits. And we looked at some of these gifts that God has given to the church that are there to protect the church. We look at various gifts such as this one. It was this measure of judgment or measure of wisdom and discernment to be able to know and determine the veracity and genuineness of certain gifts, certain abilities, certain individuals, whether they be of God, whether they be of man, or whether they be of some satanic influence and power there. There's a protection that is set in place. And folks, when this happens in God's house, this is very discouraging. When there is turmoil and attack coming in and on all sides, not only from an exterior source, but from an internal source as well, it can very much circumstantially discourage and depress the hearts and minds of the people of God. It is a very heart-wrenching and exhausting thing, emotionally and physically, when a leader or a body of people have to endure such a tremendous attacks of ridicule, criticism, and undermining, which seem at the very moments to flood the mind and squelch the ambition and energy of each who have to bear such. Yet I must say that it is the outward display of these very things that serve to demonstrate and define the strength of a leader or a body of people. Isn't that so true? We think about it much like the attributes of patience and humility that are not truly evident until one's life is tested in these areas in such extreme that give way an opportunity to manifest these traits. Even so, one does not truly lay claim to strength or fortitude until they have been tested in that area. Thomas Kempis makes this statement: occasions of adversity best discover how great virtue or strength each one hath. For occasions do not make a man frail, but they show what he is. You know, and quite honestly, as we look at this, one of my fears in Christianity is, especially in America, is we have the tendency to get out when it gets difficult. We have the tendency to just bail when things aren't going the way that we want them to. You look at this throughout the process of history, even in the last century here, even in the last few decades, if you will, just in one aspect or one institution, in the home, in the marriage itself. One thing you see is, you know, previous or older generations, we see this sense of commitment and dedication even through the worst of worst and hardest of times. Many of these older generations went through times in which we could not even imagine going through that Great Depression era and time period like that. And yet they stuck through it all. And sadly, when we get into the next generation, we see where things changed. A lot of that whole movement that took place in the 60s and in the 70s, and some of you have been there through all of that, and where when things didn't sort of serve to benefit me in the best way, well, then I'm going to go and find what does. And they bail out when things get difficult. And now we come to a generation in our country today, and can I say a generation in Christianity today in some regard to the discredit in one aspect, since there's this sense of bailout, since there's a sense of the tough get going when it starts to get tough, if you will, and what's the point of committing at all? There's no commitment or no dedication. Instead, it's more so about, well, I'm just going to go for whatever pleases me. Brings me satisfaction, whatever I can get out of life. And in the end, the one who wins is who has the most toys. As we look at Nehemiah here, it's simply remarkable to look at all of this and the wisdom that this man had, the strength of mind that God had given him and equipped him with. That it was not only willing to have this sense of unwavering focus, but that as through all of the attacks and discouragements and persecutions and things that were there to afflict and inflict upon him, that he kept strong in it all. He kept a strong mind. And I think for you and I as Christians here, the application is very clear. That folks, if God has called us to a certain position and task in our lives, to a certain place, to a certain people that were there until God changes His calling. Can I get a witness on that? That we're not there until it gets difficult and then hit the road and find somewhere else to go. That's not what Christianity is all about. And I can honestly say that those who have a mindset in that way will never grow strongly in their faith and walk with the Lord. They're missing out on the blessing of truly knowing Him. You know what? When we step out in faith for God, when we step out to commit ourselves to Him and be more devoted in Him, guess what? The attack is going to come. Nehemiah didn't think anything short of that, I'm sure. He knew God had called him. He went forward in that calling. God equipped him. God provided for him. But there was opposition. There was attack, but he set a strong sense of fortitude in his mind. And I believe as Christians, Nehemiah's example here serves to demonstrate for all of us the necessity of fortitude that we must have in our lives as believers in God who are called into His service. This sense of fortitude does not come, once again, inherently from within ourselves, but through a constant reminder of God's power and presence in our lives. It is in the veracity of this assurance that we find strength drawn from the wells of His character and person to persevere in the work that He's called us to do. I love this passage I close with this morning. One of my favorite scripture passages in all of the Bible. David writes in Psalm 27. And he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of what do I have to be afraid?" And watch as he goes into this discourse here. He says, "When the wicked, even mine enemies, came upon me to eat up my flesh," guess what? "They stumbled and fell." He says this, "Though war should rise against me, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. In this will I be confident." Listen to this. "One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Oh, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in times of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." That rock is Christ. "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Isn't that awesome? And folks, can I say that David doesn't write that from just mere ideology? He's writing that from experience. He's been through it here. And he can honestly say that through what he has been through and through what God has given him and how God has provided for him and how God has revealed himself to him, he says, "I know that the Lord is my light and my salvation. I know without a doubt that He is my strength. I do not have anything to fear because my God is stronger than anything that is out there." And that's why you look in the latter part of that passage there. I love those last two verses there. He says, "I would have fainted." Isn't that something? Here's the beauty of all this. When we start looking at all the negativity that's going around, we start looking at the circumstances, we start looking at all the bad. You know what? That's what Satan wants you to dwell on. He wants to get you discouraged. He wants you to faint in the midst of the battle. He wants you to falter and let down the armor, if you will. Because it's in that moment that he knows that God is preparing to do a great work. And David says, "I would have failed, I would have given up, I would have quit, unless I had believed to see the Lord in the land of the living." There is hope. There is hope that is transcendent to any circumstance that we face. That folks, no matter what this life may bring, we have everything to look forward to in the celestial, and that we know we will be with Him. We will see Him face to face. And that gives us a strong sense of fortitude. Can I get a witness on that? Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Folks, we might look at the obstacles before us. We might look at the task that God has called us to. It may look bleak. It may look devastating and desperate. But we don't go through it alone. We don't face what is before us with the absence of God's presence. He is ever present with us. And we know with God before us, there is none that can stand against us. I challenge you this morning, Christians. Do you have that strong sense of fortitude? Do you have that strength of mind that is drawn from the very wells of the person and character and love of Jesus Christ? Are we looking upon Him? Paul says, "If He be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth." Look at God. Focus on Him. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He knows what we have need of. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Be not anxious, but be in prayer, giving all of your petitions and your supplications unto Him, and He will give you a peace that passes all understanding. The list goes on with all of this. God is there, and His grace is sufficient for you. We finish out this morning with this challenge. David alluded to this. There's one last thing we're going to be getting into next week. As we've looked at this sense of unwavering focus, we see also this sense of fortitude that you and I need to have as Christians. And in the midst of all this, in the end of all of it, there is this miraculous fulfillment. This is awesome. This is the exciting part. This is where the mouths of evil are stopped right here, when God works through the efforts and energies and commitments of His people. And we see God work miraculously. We get to step back and enjoy the blessing of God. We get to step back and look retrospectively and see God's hand in everything that we went through. And it's beautiful. And the lessons that are learned, the task that was fulfilled, it's an awesome thing. Christians, our focus is on Him. Our strength is through Him. And when we have that in place, we will see Him work mightily. Amen. If you're here today as a Christian, I challenge you with this. We need to have that strong sense of fortitude that finds its derivative in the very person and character of Jesus Christ, folks. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're missing out. None of us are here because of anything we've done. It's because of what Jesus has done for us. That's plain and simple across the board. And you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior simply by crying out to Him. We're all sinners in need of a Savior, folks. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Be saved. There's no perfect way to say it, folks, because guess what? God knows the heart. If you cry out to Him, say, Lord, forgive me and save me, guess what? God says, I'll save you. There's no amount of money that you need to give. There's no measure of offerings or gifts or efforts that you need to give that can validate and justify yourself before God. It's all through the person and work of Jesus Christ, and that alone. That alone. You say, it sounds pretty easy, Pastor. Praise God it is. Praise God it is. Our Lord did all the work on the cross. And those words He cried out in the very end, the meaning and comprehension of those things are beyond our understanding when He said, it is finished. It was finished for all mankind. You can trust Him today. Christians, we've put our trust in Him. We need to maintain that trust in Him, most especially. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the power that it holds. I thank You for the lessons that are there, that we can look back on these things and these things are available to us for our learning so that we can grow thereby. Lord, as believers in You, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a church body as a whole, Lord, may we have that unwavering focus in You. May we have eyes that look upward at the very throne of heaven instead of around at the circumstances involved. May You equip us not with our own strength, Lord, because our own strength is but mere weakness in comparison to the strength of God. May we focus on You. May we have Your strength given to us, Lord, knowing that as You have called, You will fulfill. May we rely on You for the accomplishments of things, not ourselves. Lord, may we not look at the circumstances involved in our lives that can discourage us, but look at the One who is sovereignly in control that offers us hope beyond our circumstances. Lord, I pray for us as a people, as a church, that we would have that strong sense of fortitude. And Lord, that we would be privileged through that focus and that strength that is given to us to see Your miraculous work fulfilled in our lives and in Your church. Lord, may You get the glory. I pray Your blessing upon this time. Use it, Father, we pray. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together with me this morning?